in preparation for today, I was thinking through in life how many different moments that the key to every experience was being able to hear what someone was saying to you. And I began to think through in my own mind conversations that were very clear and others that were very challenging. And I can remember a few years ago, I had a lady come in to see me, and she was in the middle of a great challenge, but she talked really soft. And I can remember I was straining my ear to hear what she was saying. You ever had a conversation with someone like that? And let me tell you what added to the misery. She talked for 30 minutes without stopping. And so she was whispering and telling me all this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, oh, Lord, help her, because I know I can't. And as we were going through this entire conversation, I realized that if I couldn't hear her, I couldn't instruct her, and I couldn't guide her, and I couldn't learn what it was God wanted to show me. Well, a few years ago, my wife and I found ourselves, we were in a passport line in London going in to see our missionaries that were serving there. My mind was completely away from listening to the guy at the passport booth. So he started asking me questions. Well, I started responding. I was not even answering his question. I was answering something totally different. And finally, my wife said, do you not hear him? And I said, I'm not paying attention. And finally, then I started listening and started hearing what was transpiring. And was able to get on through and get my passport stamped. I'm sure he's looking at me like, why'd you answer that? My mind was already somewhere in London at that time. But what happens sometimes is we need to hear, but we miss hearing it. And as a result, we struggle. A few weeks ago, a buddy of mine called me. He was in this great dilemma. And his dilemma was that he was preaching a series through the book of Thessalonians. And he said, you know, I don't know what to do because last August, I preached a sermon out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and now I have arrived back at that text. What do you think the church will think? And I said, well, how many of you think listen to you? And he said, probably no one. I said, preach it again. They won't know the difference because they probably didn't listen carefully to what you were saying. Ended up being a great service for him. You know, the amazing thing is sometimes we get in our minds that we think people hear. And it's interesting because today we come to a place in Scripture that is so powerful because it's a moment where Peter, James, and John get to hear a voice, and the voice comes very clearly to them. And they have to listen to it because it is the voice of the Father speaking out of a cloud to them. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, sitting in church today, all of a sudden, a cloud comes and sits down in this room. Now, if you're in a balcony, you're going to see nothing. All right, because the cloud's going to be all over you. All right, up down here we might see a little bit, but we can't see who is there, but we can hear a voice. And in Luke chapter 9, we arrive at a place where the disciples have been called on to pray. They've been called on to experience what it is to see the glow of the face of Jesus by way of transfiguration. And as a result, in the midst of their confusion over Moses and Elijah being there, they get to hear a voice, and the voice says, listen to my son, my chosen one. And so today, I want you to think about what would happen if everything we heard today, we were listening to with the intent to act. In other words, our entire focal point was, you know what, I'm going to act on that. I'll tell you what you discover. You would discover a richness to your prayer life. You discover an insight into hearing his voice. You would discover how to process life in a different way. But what happens oftentimes is we find ourselves distracted by different things coming at us, different things that cause us to be able to miss what it is he's trying to say to us. And for the disciples, they got distracted by several things, including the reality is they had not paid close attention to what Jesus had said in Luke chapter 9, verse 27. Look at it with me. Notice what Jesus said to them. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. So what does Jesus say to him? You better listen carefully what I'm trying to get across to you, because what I'm trying to get across to you will change the way you look at life. And what you discover very quickly is oftentimes we process our lives based only and partially hearing what it is God has for it. And we wonder why we struggle. And so today, if you'll think about it for a minute, this is a story you can get caught up in. And for me, I always watch when I hear stories that capture my attention, that speak to my heart and get a hold of me, because listen carefully. When you're caught up in a story, it just moves you forward. Let me give you an example that happened today during our welcome time. A few weeks ago, few weeks ago, I baptized one of our young ladies who was a senior in high school. And today she was telling me that she was the prom queen last night. And so, Savita, where are you at? All right, stand up. I want to congratulate you right now for that big accomplishment. And so I want to ask you, I want everyone in here to tell me, the night after your prom, were you in church? Amen. I see some heads shaking yes. Amen. I see some other heads saying, I don't know where I was. You know, it does a long time ago. How can I remember that far back? But let me tell you what I loved about my moment speaking with Savita. When Jesus touches you, you become more than the prom queen. You become a child of the King. And I'm so proud of her and her choice to live that way. And as she was sharing, she shared some other things. I didn't get to hear everything she said. But one of the things I loved most was, here's a story of somebody who has made a choice. And it made me pray for her. I prayed for her during our last song. That God would show her always how to be the godly woman that He wants her to be. Because that's our prayer for her. And prayer for all those who are involved in our student ministry. And so what happens is, here all of a sudden, now think about this for a second. Here we have the opportunity to hear something. People are speaking to us all the time. They're sharing with us. They're causing us to think through different things. But we don't always hear those. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who you could not follow their storyline and you could not keep up with it, so you quit listening to them? Let me see your hand. Thank you for your honesty. The truth of the matter is, everyone in here has it sometime. Because everyone here has had somebody at some time walk up to you and say, you got 5 minutes? And an hour and a half later, you were still sitting there. You ought to be a pastor. The most frightening words are not hell is hot. Those are not the most frightening words. The most frightening words are, you got 5 minutes. Because you know 5 minutes is going to take you way down the road somewhere and beyond that moment you just had. And here's what I want you to think about. All of a sudden, you have a chance to be able to hear God speak to you. And the clarity that you hear will allow you either to experience what He intended or to miss that based on how well you listen to Him speaking to your heart. And here's what happened too. Our situations cloud us. Our circumstances sometimes overwhelm us. And so as a result, we find ourselves in a cloud. But it's not the cloud that falls from heaven. It's the cloud of confusion that comes from life choices and life circumstances that come at us. So today, I want you to think about simply, as we look at Luke chapter 9, in verses 28 through 36, amazing things happen. And in fact, when you look at this text, if you can't get caught up in this story, then you miss the most amazing lesson. Because when you get caught up in this story, it just grabs hold of you. It speaks to you. One of our members, where's Daryl at? Oh, right here. Daryl was telling me before church about his grandson who's in this competition. Look at him right there. See? He's awake, right? All right, stand up so everybody can see you. Look at that kid, man. And then, see? All right. Now, let me ask you this. He's in a competition. I don't even know what it's all about. And as he was telling all about it, I thought, this is a smart kid. This kid has got, he's got, at the end of the month, he's going to competition up Michigan, right? Man, it's going to be, you're going to win too, aren't you? Huh? You win because you compete. And let me tell you, when I got done talking to them, I was thinking, you know what? We need to get caught up in stories like that really speak to who we are and move our hearts forward. And what happens is the disciples, they've already experienced amazing things. When you look at Luke chapter 9, they've seen 5,000 people eat. They've heard Jesus say, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. They've heard Jesus say, what's it going to profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Then when you get to verse 28, he begins to take them into an experience. Look at it with me if you would. Verse 28, Luke chapter 9. Some 8 days after these sang, he took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Which tells you, there was never a question if he would come out of that grave. Never a question. Verse 32. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Now I want you to stop there just for a second. All right. When you really get deep asleep and something startles you, it is hard for you to grasp what's transpiring. All right? So I want you to think about this. Here you are. You're Peter, James, and John, and I mean you are snoozing out. I mean, you're in a deep sleep. You're in the same kind of sleep my wife had last night when I woke her up in the chair. I went downstairs, and my wife was sound asleep, and she says, "Wake up. It's time to go to bed." And she looked at me like, "Who are you?" "I'm the same guy I've been married to you 40 years. Now get up. We got to go to bed." And it startled her, though, because she was in a really deep sleep. All right? So here's Peter, James, John. They're deep asleep. They're completely, I'm sure they're overwhelmed. Can you imagine how exhausting it was to feed 5,000 people? Can you imagine how exhausting it was for Jesus to say, deny yourself? In other words, you got to disown every desire you ever had. You got to let go of it. And so they find themselves, they're praying and they're sleeping. So here's a true confession. How many times have you prayed and in the midst of that prayer, you woke up the next day? We all have, haven't we? There are times when we start praying and we get calm, we get comfortable, we start zeroing in on it, and what happens? We go down. We go out. So they're asleep. They're overcome by sleep. And then what happens here is all of a sudden some things are transpiring while they're sleeping. But then they wake up. And when they wake up, things begin to happen in amazing fashion. Look at verse 33. "And as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, if it's good for us to be here, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah.'" Not realizing what he was saying. Now, I want you to get this in your head. All right, it's the same thing a pastor feels at times. You preach a sermon, you think, man, I hope they get this. And I'm hoping you get this today. Jesus had modeled he was the answer. Moses and Elijah were part of the story, but Jesus was the answer. And Jesus wanted them caught up in his story. So you can fathom for a minute. Think about it for a second. They have the opportunity to be able to get caught up in this amazing story. What happens to them? Peter says, "You know what? I think we ought to just build three tabernacles." Now, can you fathom Jesus in the transfiguration, hearing this come out? And obviously, as he was saying this, verse 34 is where we see ourselves. Watch this. "While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him.'" You ever had someone say to you, "Are you listening?" Why? Because they want to make sure you don't miss something. Well, what happens here is all of a sudden this cloud sets in and they have to face what it is that guides their life. And so today I want you to think about this for a moment. What would happen if you just got caught up in the story for verses 28 through 36, and all of a sudden you began to see it from a different light? I hope that by the time we finish, you'll realize something, that we all are privileged. Watch this. We are privileged to hear his voice. We are privileged to pursue him. We are privileged to know that he will speak to our hearts. We are privileged to know that he guides us every step of the way. One of the amazing things that I love about the Cat and Norcross Christian Academy, which is an amazing place for our children and grandchildren, is this week my daughter sent me my little oldest granddaughter Nora quoting Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And as I was watching it, I was mesmerized, listening to every word. And I wanted to make sure she got to the end and got to that point where it says, "Surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life." You see, it was on my phone, but I was listening intently because I was caught up in the story. Caught up in the story of what God does in our lives, in our heart. And so today, as you think about verse 35, where it says, there's a voice that called out to him. The voice of the Father. "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And it's interesting. The Father says, "my chosen one," because Peter won in three places. And the Father was making sure everyone knew, "This is my son, the chosen one." And so, as you can imagine for a moment, we're sitting here and we're looking at this text going, "Oh, wait a minute now. So here's something that we can get caught up in and we can learn how to listen with the intent to act." So you begin to ask yourself, what kind of listening skills do I need in order to hear God speak? And I got to thinking about that weeks ago as I was getting ready for this message. And I began to think about what would happen if we learn how to proactively listen with a purpose. In other words, if we learn how to hear what it is he's saying to us with a distinct purpose. And we let that become a part of our story, and we got proactive about it. Because proactive, watch this carefully. Proactive listening has to do with understanding the intent beneath the surface of what someone is saying and the intentionality of what it's trying to get across. And so when someone starts talking to you, you grab hold of it and you hear it more clearly. Anyone in here who's ever had any bad medical diagnosis, listen very carefully when the doctor said certain words. Why? Because it was a challenge for you to process what you heard. And a number of years ago, one of our relatives was facing a giant illness, a giant challenge physically. And I'll never forget, because his daughter told us later that when the doctor finished everything, and the doctor went through this whole big spiel about what he needed to do, what was going to happen with bone marrow transplant, all these different things. And finally, the dad of our sister-in-law, he looked at the doctor and said, "You know, I know two things, how to make blue jeans and how to play golf." And what that dad was saying was, "I didn't hear a single thing you said, but I brought my daughter who would hear everything." And I want you to see today, as you think about this, sometimes, by the way, he manufactured jeans, ran a factory, and he loved golf. So those were his two hobbies and two aspirations in life. So what happens, though, is when I heard that story, I thought, you know what? He couldn't hear it. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus knew. Jesus knew sometimes they would not hear it. Now, do we know that out of Luke chapter 9? Yes, because ultimately they get in their big hoorah about, in verse 46, they get in that big hoorah about, hey, guess what? And the argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. Can you imagine how little lack of listening was going on? When the whole time they're looking at all that going, you know what, man, I think I'm the greatest. No, you're the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. I'll always be the greatest. And what happened? They missed the greatness of really what God's all about. And that's what transpires in Luke chapter 9. So you need to be proactive with the purpose. The second thing is this. You need to always listen with supernatural possibilities. You need a listening skill. When you hear what it is God's saying, when you read His Word, you need to listen always thinking, hey, God can do this. And I tell you what you discover. The impossible situations of life become possible when you listen to Him and not others. How often I found people who hear all the opinions but then don't listen to the voice that matters the most, because He's the one who orders out the steps of your life. So proactive with a purpose. Listening so that all of a sudden you are supernaturally anticipating God working. And a third and final listening skill that I want you to have is this. Always maintain an intentional focus on learning. Always be sitting, you know what? Lord, I want you to teach me something. Show me something. Speak to my heart in an amazing way. Let me hear what it is that you have to say to me. Because when you do that, something begins to happen inside of your story. Because all of a sudden your life take shape the way God intended. So let's look at this passage. I want to show you four very distinctive things that stand out. Because after Jesus shares and challenges him with the question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross. You have to follow him. Then he takes them to prayer. And what I want you to see, I want you to see these four sequential things that transpire. Because first of all, prayer always precedes instruction. In other words, what Jesus wanted to do, he wanted them invested completely in what was going on, seeking his face before they ended up hearing everything he needed to show them and showing and listening to what he wanted to get across to them. And so imagine for a moment you are sitting here and you hear this principle. Okay, prayer precedes instruction. In other words, I've got to pray. I don't have to get tight. I need to stay right. Okay, watch this. When I get tight, I miss out on what is right. In other words, when I get uptight, I don't hear what it is he's trying to say to me. So first thing you need to do is always find your place. Find a place that you can pray and seek his face out and say, Lord, speak to my heart. The second thing is this. You need to learn how to watch his heart. Because the Bible says that he called them to pray. And when he went up on this mountain, and that last part of verse 28, that phrase, went up to the mountain to pray. He took them to a place where they wouldn't be distracted. But he took them to a place where they'd hear his heart. And I want you to imagine for a moment, you're sitting here and all of a sudden you start thinking, man, I want to hear his heart. I don't want to hear my own heart. I want to hear his heart. I want to hear him speak. I want to hear him guide in the midst of what it is he's trying to get across to me. And what happens here is you find your place and you start praying. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. The more you pray, the more you hear. The more you hear, the more you know. The more you know, the better your life. And the better your life is, the more you accomplish for him. That's what he was trying to get across. Come and pray with me. That's why he's always bringing Peter, James, and John into his story. He wanted them, those intimate friends, to be a part of what prayer was all about. So prayer precedes instruction. Look at the second thing. Look on. And notice what transpired. The second thing is they find themselves asleep. Now, when you see this, you realize that in verse 32, now Peter and his companion had been overcome with sleep. Now, here's what I want you to get a hold of and think about this by way of listening. What happens if you wake up to your opportunity? What if you just wake up one day and say, you know what? I see what it is God has. I see what it is he wants to do. Which, by the way, it's interesting. What opens the door to hearing him more clearly is oftentimes contentment and commitment and conviction. So I get committed to what it is he wants to do. I'm contented in where I'm at, knowing that he might work through something and change it. But I also have a conviction that no matter what I face, even if I lose, I win. And so imagine that you're here today and all of a sudden somebody says, wake up. And it's not the pastor, it's not somebody sitting by you, it's the Lord speaking to you saying, wake up to your opportunity. And what if he wants to do something amazing in you? And watch this, when in doubt, do without. In other words, if you can't hear him, then don't move to it. Stay still, wait on him. And what happens is they find themselves asleep. And what I want you to see about your opportunity is this. In order to experience your opportunity, you have to always maintain attentiveness. You always got to be aware of what he's trying to get across to you. Stay awake to it, stay alert to it. Be very, very vigilant, saying, you know what, I want to hear God speak to me. And when you maintain your attentiveness, something begins to transpire. I have in my study 1,000 files of people I've counseled over the years. Actually, it's more than that. But the other day, I ran across those files. And it's interesting because in those files are some people who maintained attention and some who allowed the distraction to take them away from God's best. And I got to looking at some of them and I was thinking, you know what? Wouldn't it be amazing? And wouldn't it have been amazing if every person who ever said something to me and listened to the counsel of God's word would have obeyed? Would have listened to it? Would have listened with the intent to act? I'll never forget, a few years ago, someone came to see me way before One Heart Day. Came to see me and they were walking through this really challenging problem. And I said, well, let me tell you what, let me encourage you, do not do this. The next day, they did that. And I found out about it. I said, what are you doing? Well, I just felt like it was the right thing to do. Now, listen carefully. If you get good counsel and someone said, don't do this, don't let your little head get in the way of your heart. Let your heart guide you. For out of the heart flow the issues of life. So you got to maintain attentive. You got to learn how to say, I'm going to be very attentive, very attentive. And because when I maintain attentiveness, what happens? I get what it is God's trying to say to me. I don't miss something. But you don't just maintain attentiveness. You also learn how you don't speak without wisdom. Because let me tell you what happened. They wake up. They wake up and Peter ends up making the big speech about, hey, let's have 3 tabernacles. Now you can imagine how overwhelming the experience was. And you know what Peter, what Peter should have done? Peter should have said, whatever, Lord, you want to do, I'm with you. I'm just going to hang with you. Instead of, well, let's build these 3 tabernacles. And here's what I want you to keep in mind in your own life. When you're facing something, watch this. Don't let your emotions rule over wisdom. Because what happens is you start feeling something. You start feeling a little bit more, a little bit stronger, a little stronger, a little stronger. I mean, how many people married the wrong person because they had a strong feeling? Without wisdom. Without knowing this is what God's best is for their life. And what happens here is Peter speaks, and I'm going to tell you, it set in motion this third step. All right? So keep in mind, the first thing you do is you learn how to pray, and you pray waiting on his instruction. Then, as you pray and as you seek him out, something begins to happen in you because you start waking up to your opportunity. And this happened to Eddie several years ago. One day we were talking about prayer, and I said, you know, one thing you got to remember is if you're open to it, he'll wake you up in the middle of the night. He'll wake you up at 3 a.m. And because when you read Psalm 62 and other places, David's night watches is when God spoke to him. Now, some of us, we don't have many of those night watches. I understand. Some of us have, we hear the Lord during the daytime. But I'll never forget Eddie walking in one day and saying, you know what? Man, the Lord spoke to me. He woke me up at 3 o'clock. And amazing, his eyes came open at 3 o'clock. And he began to hear God speak. And what I want you to see today is this. If you wake up, he'll show you amazing things. You just have to be willing to wake up. A third thing I want you to see, it's this. And it's actually a part of this verse, 35. Listen to his voice. Don't listen to other voices. Don't listen to other voices you hear. Listen to his voice. Because what happens here is he makes it clear. He begins to speak to him. Notice verse 34 again. While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Now, stop and think about it a second. All right, so the cloud's there, then the cloud's here, then the cloud's here. In other words, all of a sudden the cloud sits back down completely on top of them. And you realize how disorienting it is when you have that kind of experience? When all of a sudden you don't know which way you're going because there's a cloud there? It's right in the middle of it. I'll never forget, years ago I was off on a trip with college kids. Many years ago we were going skiing and a fog set in. And it was late at night, and the bus driver said, I can't tell if we're going up or down. There's so much fog. And I can remember saying, well, slow down, because whichever way we're going, we want to get to our destination. And he said, well, it's so disorienting because it's sitting on top of me. So you can imagine, watch this. They're disoriented. They're afraid. They're overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. They don't know which way to turn. And all of a sudden, they have to think, wait a minute now. How do I get past this? How do I learn something from this? And then they hear these words. Here's my question to you. Do you think they ever forgot words spoken out of heaven? Absolutely impossible. And here's what I want you to see. That is why he gave us this book. Because when you hear him speak to you, they stay with you forever. So you have to be willing to listen to his voice. And it's interesting because what you discover is God always reveals his presence to us. He always shows up. He doesn't always show up in a cloud. But he always reveals his presence to us. When we find ourselves troubled or overwhelmed, facing circumstances, not knowing which way to turn, yielding to something that is less than God's best, and he shows up and he begins to speak to you. And I'm going to tell you, there's something powerful about that. There's something powerful and meaningful about it. Because when he shows up, what happens to you? All of a sudden, you get to know he's with you. And when Scripture says that he never leaves you or forsakes you, what's that all about? It's knowing he's always with you to take care of you, to guide you. And so God shows up and his presence is there to guide them. But what I want you to think about is this. The voice they heard was a voice different than any other voice. Which, by the way, if you don't get great comfort out of this text, you're missing one of the secrets of this text. Because here's the question for you. Moses and Elijah had been in eternity a long time. But they were clearly recognizable. Clearly recognizable. So if your mom is in heaven when you arrive, you get great comfort because she will be there and you'll know her. And you look at this thing and you got to get a hold of it going, you know, wow, that's a great thought that everybody I've ever loved will be there and be a part of that story. And so what happens is you get to the place where you go, wait a minute now, I want to hear his voice. And I want to know it's his voice, all right? And here's what I want you to think about. The cloud sets in. They begin to hear, this is my chosen one. Listen to him. And here's what I want you to get in mind. It's a distinguishing voice of God that's different than any other voice you hear. It is absolutely distinguishing. In other words, you get it. You hear it. And one of the things that I love to do is I love to walk into a room when my grandkids don't know that I'm there, and I'll just say something. And I'll watch them realize it's my voice and watch their faces. And it's interesting because out of all four, Adeline, the little one, Adeline, if she hears your voice, she wants to look straight in your face. And so if you're holding her, she'll do this often, many times every day. She'll swing her head all the way around and look right in your face. It's like she wants to make sure it's you. Now, the others do it some, but she's right there. And here's what I want you to get in mind. What if all of a sudden, when you start distinguishing his voice, it's right there in front of you? And you go, wow, I hear him. Let me tell you what I love. I know he speaks to us. I know it's distinguishable. All we have to do is be willing to listen. So you got to be willing to make sure that you listen to his voice. Listen to him. All right? And one final thing I want to show you. Look at verse 36. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had scene. Now, imagine this for a second. They hear a voice, they know it's coming from heaven, and they know it's about Jesus. Then all of a sudden they move over, and all of a sudden they find Jesus by himself. He's alone. And here's what I want you not to forget. He is always all you ever need in life. He is all you need. I want to tell you, you get that in your mind, something begins to happen to you. Because he becomes everything you ever dreamed he would be. Let me tell you what's cool about that. It takes religion and sets it aside. Because religion never gets you into that kind of relationship. They found him alone. And when they found him alone, it's pretty cool because the Bible says they were silent. They didn't say anything. And here's what I want you to get a hold of. Silence sealed in their heart things they could never forget. Silence sealed in their heart things they could never forget. So sometimes when you're quiet, sometimes when you're silent, he's sealing some things inside of you. Let him seal it completely and watch what he does. Not only that, the Bible says they didn't tell anybody else. And what is amazing about that is they processed this amazing moment internally without trying to tell everyone else. They took it in. They processed it. And I'm going to tell you, when I think about the ways God speaks, the way he touches our hearts, the way he gets a hold of our lives, the way he guides our steps, the way he governs over the affairs of our lives. When I think about the energy that he brings into our world, and I think about think about this for a second. What if all of a sudden you start listening to him? This past week I was getting ready for Easter, and I ran across this. I didn't use it on Easter because I wanted to wait till today. Because when Jesus said you deny yourself, and you take up your cross and you follow him. Now watch this. You follow him, you listen to him, your life's changed forever. But listen to this, because when it comes to denying yourself, see if you could actually make, I want you to listen with the intent to act. See if you could actually hear this for all it's worth. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting or hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ. This is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, or your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all patiently, loving, silently, that is dying to self. When you lovingly, patiently bear any disorder or irregularity, any punctuality or any annoyance, when you come face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own good works or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to go unknown, that is dying to self. When you see your brother or sister have his or her needs met and can honestly rejoice in spirit and can feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater and in more desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. And so when you hear that, when Jesus said we deny ourselves in order to experience him, we do that so that we can learn how to listen. And my question for you today is this: are you listening, and what are you listening to now? May it be that you hear his voice speaking clearly to you, and when you hear his voice, something begins to happen inside of your heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can understand what it means to deny ourselves. We can understand what it means to take up our cross. We can understand what it means to find yourself asleep when you should be awake. What it means to hear a voice that's distinguishable above every other voice we ever hear. What it means to anticipate hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, we just trust you to help us learn how to listen better, to become more proactive, more attentive, more anticipating the miraculous, more seeking the supernatural, trusting you to do what only you can do. Lord, we thank you that we can listen today because you give us the privilege of being able to hear you speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you bless and watch over every person in here, because if they're listening and they hear you and you tell them something to do and they act, then out of that comes the blessing of obedience. And so, Lord, I pray you speak to every heart in Christ's name. Amen.